Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston.
I'm Tiziana Deering. More reactions today to a July call President Trump made in which he asked Ukraine's leader to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his son. This weekend, the president admitted to discussing the vice president and his son Hunter with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
The conversation I had was largely congratulatory, was largely corruption, all of the corruption taking place, was largely the fact that we don't want our people, like Vice President Biden and his son, creating to the corruption already in the Ukraine.
The call raises a number of critical questions, including whether the president acted unlawfully. Joining us now from Washington to help untangle this complicated story is WBUR senior news correspondent Kimberly Atkins. Kimberly, welcome back.
Hi there.
And you, call in. What do you make of these latest revelations surrounding the Trump administration in Ukraine? Have we potentially crossed a Rubicon here, or is this much to do about nothing? Should Congress act, and if so, how, or was the president in his rights to make the call? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Okay, Kimberly, there is a lot going on here. Let's start with having you just lay out the basics of the story for us.
Yeah, so this goes back to 2014 when Hunter Biden, who was Joe Biden's son, was on the board of a Ukrainian gas company, Burisma. And at the same time, Joe Biden, then vice president, joined a number of Western leaders in pressing the Ukrainian government to fire a prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, who was in charge of leading corruption investigations into companies in the Ukraine, including Burisma. But he was accused of not doing enough, sort of falling down on the job and really not prosecuting these corruption cases. And so Joe Biden pressed him to press the government officials to oust him since he wasn't getting the job done. And there's a tape of him saying this that has been circulated.
So let me stop you there, Kimberly, because we have some of Joe Biden. This was at a Council on Foreign Relations event in 2018 talking about that.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
All right. So, Kimberly, go ahead. I just wanted to get that in there.
Right. So fast forward to today. There was recently a report about a whistleblower claim, a whistleblower complaint that was made suggesting that President Trump engaged in a phone conversation with a foreign leader where he made a promise that raised national security concerns. Subsequent reporting shows that that phone call was with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, in which the president pressed multiple times Zelensky to investigate the Bidens and their role in trying to oust this prosecutor. Of course, the president and his lawyer, Rudolph Giuliani, spun this as a story about Joe Biden trying to protect his son when what Joe Biden was actually trying to do was encourage more prosecution for corruption and not less.
Kimberly, President Trump admitted Sunday to discussing Biden and his son Hunter with President Volodymyr Zelensky. Does that admission change anything?
Well, yes, it does for a lot of people. It does for a lot of the foreign policy and national security experts that I've spoken to today. They say that this is a new level. We've talked a lot about the Mueller report and all sorts of allegations that have been made against this president and this administration. They say this is something different. If there was a quid pro quo where the president either expressly or impliedly said that the Ukraine could lose funding, lose some of its U.S. support if it did not investigate the Bidens, that crosses the Rubicon, and that's something different. And we've heard people talk about everything from impeachment to treason in connection to that. But the president maintains that he had every right to do it.
All right. So how is Congress reacting? Is there a unified front here? And especially, what are we hearing from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi?
Yes. Yeah, so Nancy Pelosi has called it a grave new chapter of lawlessness, but still has stopped short of fully endorsing an impeachment proceeding. We know Nancy Pelosi has said with respect to the Mueller report that it needs to be a bipartisan effort backed by the facts before she would consider that. It seems that she's taking pretty close to the same approach when it comes to this.
So, Kimberly, in the cut we played earlier of Joe Biden from 2018, what's referred to there and is the case is that he threatened to withhold $1 billion in U.S. loan guarantees if Ukraine's leader did not dismiss the prosecutor that was in question at the time. Part of the concern with President Trump is, did he or did he not withhold aid to Ukraine? So should the American people be concerned about Biden's $1 billion, or did Biden do anything wrong here?
Well, look, whether or not it was wise for Hunter Biden to be engaging in with a Ukrainian company at a time that his father was vice president, that raises conflict of interest issues that I think it's perfectly valid to ask questions about. But in this case, what Joe Biden was doing was trying to, he, along with a lot of other Western leaders, were trying to push the Ukrainians to more thoroughly investigate and tamp down against corruption in that company and in that country. And as a result, did threaten to withhold those funds if they did not adhere to that. What Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani are claiming is that he was trying to protect Joe Biden. So, I mean, ultimately, it's up to voters to decide, but it's really, really important to make that distinction that the claim that's being pushed really isn't true. But if voters have every right, if they're still uncomfortable with what Joe Biden was doing, to make that choice. But it's clear, it's just important to get the facts straight here.
So, Kimberly, just a couple of things. He was trying to protect Hunter Biden. And it sounds like what you're saying is there's a substantial difference between using financial aid as a leverage on U.S. foreign policy versus coercion of a foreign leader for purposes of investigating a political opponent. Is that the distinction
you're
making?
Yes. Forgive me for slipping on the name.
No, that's okay.
The point is he wasn't trying to protect Hunter Biden. He was trying to he was doing something that ostensibly would have been against the interest of Hunter Biden as a member of a board of a company that could potentially face corruption charges.
All right, let's get a call in here. John from Watertown, go ahead.
Hi, I mean, I would just like to call a spade a spade. I mean, if you tell somebody that you are going to withhold something that they need to survive in order to get what you want, that's extortion. And you look at patterns of behavior. If any regular citizen went to court and stole something, they would say, have you done this before? Have you lied before? Are you an honest human being? And they would look back at your past actions to see if maybe you're telling the truth. There's nothing that leads me to believe that President Trump is not leading our country like his own criminal enterprise for his own benefit.
Thanks for that call, John. And if you want to join in with John's voice, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can call us too. I want to bring in another voice here for some legal analysis. We have WBUR legal analyst and retired federal judge Nancy Gertner, who's also a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School. Judge Gertner, welcome to Studio 3.
Good to be here.
So, Judge Gertner, I'm going to play a piece of tape on the heels of John's call. This is former Massachusetts governor and Republican presidential candidate Bill Weld, and he calls the president's actions treasonous.
Talk about pressuring a foreign country to interfere with and control a U.S. election. It couldn't be clearer. And that's not just undermining democratic institutions. That is treason. It's treason pure and simple. And the penalty for treason under the U.S. code is death. That's the only penalty. The penalty under the Constitution is removal from office. And that might look like a pretty good alternative to the president if he could work out a plea deal.
Okay, so now we've got death penalty and treason entering the discussion, and we are in such a hyper-partisan time. So I apologize if this almost sounds like too small a question for the circumstance we're in, but how big a deal is this? And is the president, or did the president, based on what we know, break the law?
Let me make a couple of points. There's no question that the State Department and executives will use foreign aid to get to promote American foreign policy interests. But it's different to use foreign aid to promote your election results. In other words, to promote, to take down a political opponent. Think about the Mueller report for just one second. In the Mueller report finds interference in the election, which the Trump campaign welcomed. But it wasn't conspiracy to commit election fraud because they hadn't orchestrated it. They hadn't solicited it and orchestrated it. This is soliciting and orchestrating interference in our election by encouraging them to take down a political opponent.
So do we know that? I mean, we haven't seen a transcript of the call. All we know is that President Trump admitted that he did mention this in the call. And we know that Rudy Giuliani, his personal lawyer, has admitted to making several trips to foreign countries to try to convince Ukraine to do this. So do we know he's broken a law?
Well, let's do a decision tree, as a professor might do. If he simply said to the Ukrainian president, investigate Joe Biden and his son, and he says it eight times, I want you to investigate Joe Biden. And the purpose of that is to take down a political opponent, because, as Kimberly said, there's really no basis for a corruption investigation. That would be illegal. That would be arguably would be extortion, but certainly would be an impeachable offense. Using your relationship with a foreign power for the purposes of taking down your political opponent. Case two, he withholds funds to the Ukraine in order to maximize the pressure on them to investigate Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. Likewise, it seems to me that's an impeachable offense. That is using the mechanisms of power for the purposes of taking down a political opponent. If he said to the president of Ukraine, if you do not, linking the two, linking on the one hand, you better investigate Hunter Biden, or we'll withhold funds in the future, or we're going to withhold them now, we won't release them, then that's really extortion. That's flat out extortion, which is, and, you know, I mean, I take Governor Weld's point that it could well be treason, because it's the manipulation of the power of the presidency for the purposes of taking down a political opponent. I don't think that we haven't had anything as serious before, and it really says something about how little Trump took, how little he just didn't take seriously the Russian interference in the election, because the analog here would be if in 2016 he said, would you mind coming in and interfering with the election? I know against Hillary. Here he's saying to Ukraine, would you mind taking down my political opponent?
All right. So, Kimberly Atkins, I'm going to turn to you for a second now. Judge Gertner has laid out this decision tree of the various scenarios of what may have happened. And they're thoughtful, and they distinguish between types of breaking the law, if they happened, the egregiousness, et cetera. In the conversations that you're hearing on Capitol Hill, are we hearing that level of thoughtful distinction, or where is the discussion focused right now?
Well, so far, the discussion has really broken down along partisan lines, much the same way that it did after Robert Mueller's report was released. We have largely seen Democrats, including Chuck Schumer, warning that Republicans will be complicit if they don't come out and say essentially what Judge Gertner just laid out, and that this is something different, a line was crossed, and that Congress needs to act. A reminder that the president, we know from the Mueller report, that the president, while he's in office, can't be brought up on criminal charges. At least the Justice Department won't do that. So the only mechanism here would be for Congress to act. And although Mitt Romney, the former Massachusetts governor, now Utah senator, called this troubling, for the most part, Republicans have remained largely silent on this. And so unless there is some groundswell from Republicans, it's going to be very difficult to move forward toward impeachment any more so than it was after the Mueller report.
All right, let's take another call. Rama from Gloucester is on the line. Rama, what's on your mind?
Well, yeah, I just came in recently in the conversation. I heard after Bill Weld's comment, and it may have just been timing, you said something about this hyper-partisan political climate. Bill Weld is, if partisan is reasonable or delusional, then it's partisan. But Bill Weld is, as you said, a Republican candidate for president. So he's not partisan towards the Democrats. So I just want to point that out, number one. And yes, he called for possible death penalties. But this whole conversation, I think I'm a fairly reasonable, intelligent person. I can't tell, like, who we're accusing of what here, and it's just so confusing. Is it Biden that did something wrong? Is it Trump that did something wrong? And people who are follow it a little bit less than I may be easily swayed and led by the Trump, swamp meter, swamp, whatever you call it.
So let me turn to our panelists, Rama, to answer some of those questions. Point taken on the partisanship. Bill Weld is running as a Republican. He has run as a Libertarian in the past. And we heard Kimberly Atkins say that there's a pretty straight party line split happening in the Capitol right now in terms of reaction to this. Judge Gertner, to be clear, is there a legitimate claim that Joe Biden broke the law at this point?
No.
Okay.
There really isn't. There was an arguable conflict of interest issue, which is when you think about the Trump administration and the conflicts of interest there, that's not a crime that could be troubling. But the accusation that Biden's interference, arguable interference in the Ukraine to get this prosecutor fired, was at the behest of his son, is flat out wrong. He was seeking to replace a less than honest prosecutor with an honest prosecutor, and therefore put his son arguably more at risk when this original prosecutor was fired.
Okay, so Kimberly Atkins, what evidence has President Trump offered to back up his claims?
Well, he hasn't presented any, and the White House has stifled efforts by Congress to get information behind this whistleblower's complaint. So there is a standoff there with the White House impeding that congressional effort. Today, the president said that he would be happy to release this transcript. That's something that Republicans and Democrats have called for him to do. But he says he can't release it all and that he's worried that it would have a chilling effect on world leaders and his ability to talk to them. So he hasn't done it yet. We have to understand with this president, he's said he would do all sorts of things that he didn't actually do. So that's where we are. So far, the White House has presented no evidence at all and has prevented members of Congress to get access to the whistleblower complaint so that they can start an investigation.
Okay. And Kimberly, very briefly, what is the defense for not providing the whistleblower information to Congress as the law requires?
There isn't a lot other than the fact that this is just another witch hunt, so to speak, after the Mueller report. We've seen this White House not comply with any request from Congress in any myriad number of investigations they have going on. So this is much in the same. One point that I do want to make that goes to Judge Gertner's point about the Mueller report, this call that the president made to the Ukrainian president, it came a day after Robert Mueller testified before Congress about the Mueller report. And that suggests to a lot of people that I talked to that the president felt emboldened after that and able to make a move like this.
All right. And also, Judge Gertner, briefly, where do we go from here? What happens next?
Well, there are arguable crimes that we're talking about here if the facts are true. Violations of federal election law, arguably extortion. It's also the case, by the way, that it is unprecedented that the acting director of national intelligence did not forward the inspector general's report and the whistleblower's complaint to Congress. Bear in mind what the inspector general said is this is a matter of urgent concern to national security. And what the acting director is saying is, nope, I don't agree. And in the letter that the inspector general sent to the acting director, he said, no one has ever done this before. Even when you didn't agree, when you thought that there were parts of it that were arguably, classified, it was passed on to the to the congressional committees involved with intelligence. So this is unprecedented as well.
WBUR legal analyst and retired federal judge Nancy Gertner, who's also a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School. Judge Gertner, thanks. And senior news correspondent Kimberly Atkins for WBUR. Kimberly, thank you.
Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more coming up. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.